Good morning. Today's Daven Ksivus test. We're on the very, the top of test. We're on the bottom of Chesam and Beis. We're starting with the Amar Rebbe Lazar. Okay, we're going to be covering one of the more classic discussions that occur here in this first parak of the Masechta. A claim and counterclaim. The marriage is beautiful. We just spoke yesterday about how Kadosh Baruch Hu took one and divided it into two, and then when they get back together, they're reuniting. Right, male and female. Okay, so we spoke about some beautiful ideas today. Okay, and today we leave the world of beauty and we go now into litigation. Okay, and anyway, that was the whole start of the Masechta anyway. In other words, the marriage occurs on Wednesday, and the reason why is that we're preparing for litigation. We don't, obviously, in other words, just, I really do not want to sound crass about this at all. Obviously, we don't want litigation, and obviously we would love it if the marriage not only started beautifully but continued beautifully, on the other hand, however, the realities of marriages, and that is that there's complications and there's litigation, and even at the very beginning, and the Mishnah described how you get married on Wednesday, and that if necessary you're going to go to Beis Din on Thursday. Now, why are you going to go to Beis Din? So because you expected her to be a basula, and she wasn't a basula. Now, how do you know she wasn't a basula? So, if I can just fast forward to the end of today's daf, the answer is actually empirical. There's evidence. Well, even as I say that, I'm gonna mitigate a little bit. It's not hard evidence. Meaning, again, what's the expectation of a basula from an evidence standpoint, from a forensic standpoint, and that is that there's dam basulim, and with the first bia between husband and wife, the dam basulim is going to be ruptured, and you're going to see the dam basulim on the sheet, on the bed sheet. Good. So that is the empirical evidence that she is a basula. Now, what's the opposite? The opposite is a lack of evidence, meaning there's no dam. In other words, he comes into the sheet the next morning, and there's no dam. Now, the truth of the matter is, as we're going to be discussing a number of times over the course of this first parak, is that proof? No, not really. In other words, it certainly points in a certain direction, but that's not evidence. A lack of blood is not evidence. Consider the following. Some women simply don't have dam basulim, as the Gemara will point out that there's a genetic strain. There's a certain family of women who they simply don't have dam basulim. That's number one. Number two is that maybe this woman had dam basulim and it was ruptured by some accident. What the Gemara describes as mukaretz. So the truth of the matter is that the absence of blood in of itself is not hard evidence. It is not absolute proof that she slept with another man. However, it certainly points in that direction, and it will lead Beis Din to open up an investigation. Remember, we discussed this on day one of the Masechta, meaning really what's happening now is that once he makes his claim, so Beis Din obviously is not going to punish her, meaning you don't punish her based on a claim, and you don't punish her based on even this evidence, the evidence of a lack of blood, but Beis Din will open up an investigation. That's a synopsis of, generally speaking, our discussion for the last week. And now it's going to get a little bit more interesting. Amar Rebbe Lazar Omer, Pesach Pesuch Matzasi Nem Lo Esra Lav. So he now makes the following claim. He comes to court the next day. So Thursday morning he's in Beis Din with his wife. And the claim is that she's a Bula. How do I know that? So he says, I know it because that's what I experienced when we were together last night. Pesach Pesuch Matzasi. Okay. Now, there is a very basic question, which the Gemara really doesn't discuss, and that is, how do you know? In other words, it's fair. It's fair to ask the question, how do you know? Meaning, does he have previous experiences with women that he would know? And that is an important question. Meaning, but as you will see in the course of this discussion, it's not relevant to this particular discussion. Obviously, in other words, it's just a general question of, how do you have knowledge of anything? Obviously, it's because of something you learned and something you experienced over here. What kind of experience did he had previously that he can even make such a claim? Okay, now, as I just said, but it's going to be clear, that's not relevant to this particular discussion. Why? What is this particular discussion? Remember, what we have to do over here is break down what the claim is going to mean. Okay, and let's break it into two categories. One is Isser and the other is Mamun. Meaning, first Isser. In other words, in his claim that she is a woman who already was with another man, that's his claim. So because of experience that he had with her, so one is that it creates Isser. What's the issur? The issur is that she was with another man. Again, as per his claim. We're not saying she was, but as per his claim, she was with another man.
After it was.
Okay. Ah. Okay, good. Perfect. Everyone's thinking correctly, and that is, okay. And even if she was with another man, let's say his claim is correct. Well, what are the possibilities? There really are two possibilities. One possibility is that it was before the erusin, which doesn't create issur. Okay? In other words, it'll create a lot of misgiving and a lot of hurt feelings. She didn't tell him that, but it doesn't create issur. So one possibility is it was before erusin. The other possibility is that it was after erusin. And then, even if it was after erusin, there's still another possibility. And that is that it could have been ba'ones, it could have been baratzon. It could have been she was with another man, but not willingly. And that doesn't create issur. And so what is this called in halacha? This is a classic. This is what's called an halacha sfeik sfeika. So even if he's right, even as per his claim that she is in fact a woman who was with another man, but still, there's not going to create issur because this is what in halacha is known as a sfeik sfeika. And here we go. V'amai. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. And before we go on to the next part of the Gemara, I just want everyone, and myself included, to be organized on the fact that the claim is a claim that will result in issur, and there's another part of the claim as well, and that's mammon. Meaning that he now, because he married her, is indebted to her a lot of money. It's called the ksuva. And so now, how is this claim going to affect her ksuva? So at this point in time, let's say we take that off the table. It will not affect ksuva whatsoever. Why? Because she's a note holder. She's a muchzak. And now, based on what he claims, which quite frankly, he has no evidence in terms of Adam. He doesn't even have physical evidence. All he has is his conception of what he believes he experienced with her, that's all he's got. So it's not going to affect Mammon. She's not going to lose her ksuva because of this claim. So what we could do now is we could take the money off the table, meaning that's not open for a discussion, at least for now. Okay, good. So the only thing left for discussion is issur, meaning is he going to be prohibited to her based on his claim? And the answer is going to be, as we'll see in just a moment, yeah. Now, the Gemara wants to understand this. This doesn't make sense. V'amai sveik sveikahu, meaning even if he's right, as per his claim, so who sveik sveikahu, sveik tachtav, sveik ein tachtav. First of all, when did it happen? Meaning, let's say it happened. When did it happen? Before or after erusin? V'im tim salam tachtav, sveik bonu, sveik beratzon. And even if it happened while she was in Arusa, but it could be against her will. And she doesn't become prohibited to her husband. So the Gemara says, fine. So what are we looking at over here? Sveik sveika. And that means that she shouldn't be usher to him. So the Gemara says, you're right. A sveik sveika would make it mutter. Meaning, this is a general concept which is discussed extensively throughout the halacha. And that is that when I have one doubt, so on an issa d'oraisa, we're going to be machmer. Safik d'oraisa l'chumra. But once it's a double doubt, a sveik sveika, where you can ask two separate questions as to whether or not it's mutter v'asr, so therefore, a sveik sveika, there's just simply not enough. There's not enough cause. There's not enough reason to prohibit, even by an issur d'oraisa, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And there are a number of other examples, and we could discuss sveik sveika for a really long time. As you know, I'm going to say we're not going to discuss it because we have a daf to do. But the concept of sveik sveika is a really large one and a complex one. But at least we are just familiarizing ourselves today with the basic idea. So lo tzricha beishes kohen v'yibayseim beishes tzor kagon dekabal ba'avu akidushim chusam meibaz gemoshanim v'yom echad. So the Gemara says, okay, so there are cases that can be constructed where we can remove one of the sveikos. In fact, there are two cases. Case number one is where it's eishes kohen. So by eishes kohen, as we already established back in Yevamos, and we're going to learn again here in Ksivas as well, and that is that unfortunately by an eishes kohen, if she had relations with another man during erusin, so then we do not make a distinction between onus and ratzon, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Say it's an unfortunate consequence, but that is the halacha with an eishes kohen. And then, so that removes one safek. Alternatively, we can go in with another case, and that is that her father accepted kedushin for her before she was 3 years of age, and then 9 years later, she's with her husband for the first time. That's a long erusin, I admit. But in other words, what we've now done under those circumstances is that we've taken out the variable, the suffake of Enotachtav. In other words, from before three until until they had relations, she was married to him. Therefore, it's a there should have been Dan Basulim. In other words, if she was with another man prior, so it experientially, it's not going to change your status as being a Basula. The Basulim will grow back. Okay, therefore, it takes out the variable of Eino Tachtav. It only leaves one suffix in, whether it was Ones or Ratzon. Okay. And so therefore, once we take out the second suffix on either case, so now it's a suffix d'oraisa. So as per his claim that she was with another man, and it's only one suffix, so therefore it creates Isser. So my Kamash Malam Tanina, so the Gemara says, okay, Rav Elazar, all this is an exciting discussion, right? A delicate discussion, but the truth of the matter is, thank you very much, Rav Elazar, we knew all this already. Meaning, what did you just teach us now? You taught us that if a person makes a claim and there's no hard evidence, but he believes it so then it's going to create an Isser for him. We knew that. In fact, we saw this back in, I think we saw this back in Yevamos. Anyway, so Kamash Lantanina. Ha'omer li'isha kedashi chavi amers lo kedash tani. He moteres bekrova, v'hu asur bekrova seha. So let's say, it's a falling back and forth. It's a funny back and forth. He says, I was mekadesh you. She's looking at him. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You weren't mekadesh me. And so now, again, look at it from his standpoint. His standpoint is that he believes he and her are married. Okay. Where are the witnesses right now? The answer is not around, obviously. In other words, if the witnesses were around, so then we wouldn't be having this back and forth. He said, she said. In other words, we would just simply ask the Edom to come in and present. Fine. So the Edom are not around right now. But again, as per his belief, he thinks that he was Mekadisher. And she just simply denies it. Now, from her standpoint, she's not a married woman. In other words, all there is a claim against her that he married her with no evidence, no witnesses. She's not a married woman. Not only that, she wants to end up marrying any one of his relatives, by all means. She absolutely can. But now let's focus on him. From his standpoint, because he now made the claim that he married her, so therefore, he's, number one, he's married to her, as per his claim. And number two, again, just from his standpoint, number two, all of her relatives now become usher to him. Now, what is that? So what all this is what's called shavya nafshe chaticha disur, meaning people can make things usher to him. It's kind of like a neder. Okay, shavya nafshe, by the way, is discussed also extensively in the base measures, in the yeshivas. But right now, I'm saying it simply, just to make it more easily digestible. In other words, it's like making a neder. You make a neder. So something that's not prohibited to you via neder becomes prohibited to you. So a person wants to make a claim, even if it's outlandish, even if he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he makes a claim, so it will affect him. Now, again, it won't affect anybody else. It won't affect her, but it will affect him. Based on the principle of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha D'Yisura. So the Gemara says, so, Rav Elazar, you're basically saying the same thing. Meaning you're saying that because of your experience with her last night, you felt that she was a already married woman. She's a woman who already experienced, who was already experienced with another man, and you're making that claim. Okay, so good. So he made that claim. So who is it going to affect? It's only going to affect him. It's not going to affect her. Okay, good. And so Shavya Nafshe, that's what you're teaching me, Rav Elazar. The Gemara is basically saying, thank you, we knew that already. We knew it from a Braisa. So the Gemara says, no, ma'azotem asim devadi kimlei, aval hachamekim hudalo kimlei kamash malan. So the Gemara says, okay, look, I could have made a distinction. I could have said, look, when the man made this outlandish claim, he was Mekadesh a woman. Again, from his standpoint, he firmly believes it happened. Okay? It's not going to, again, no edim, it's not going to affect her. But fine, he believes it happened. But Pesach pasuch matzasi, so does he really know? And again, I know it goes back to my original question: that was he with other women? Meaning, how does he have anything to compare it with? And again, I know it's an important question. The Gemara doesn't discuss it, but still, the point of the Gemara is is he really that sure? So the Gemara says that's exactly the point. Meaning, that's a chiddush. Meaning, shavya anafshe really is just dependent on this person wants to make the claim. He can say whatever he wants. As it relates to him, as it will affect him, fine. Even if it's Pesach Pasuach.
What happens if he doesn't marry a relative?
In other words, he's prohibited to.
What punishment is if he marries a relative?
Ah, In other words, right. In other words, is it
self-induced? It's not the right.
Yeah. It's a good. Danny, it's a good question. Okay. Now let's go on, but it's a good question. Umi Amar Rebbe Lazar Hachiv Amar Rebbe Lazar Inisha Neser Sabala El Aliske Kino Vistiro Chamaisa Shaya. So the Gemara says, really, Rebbe Lazar says that a woman only becomes prohibited to her husband only through Kino Vistiro, only through a warning and seclusion. And Chamaisa Shaya, and we learn from Dovin and Batsheva. So the Gemara says, wait one second, slow down. We learn from Dovin and Batsheva. What are we learning from Dovin and Batsheva? In other words, and this is going to be part of a really uncomfortable discussion this morning, but it's important. In other words, the Gemara has this a couple times in Shas, and today's one of those dapim where we're going to be discussing it as clearly as possible, and that is that Dovin was with Batsheva while Batsheva was a married woman. And so the Gemara says, we're learning out about the Isser of husband and wife from the episode of Dovin Batsheva. First of all, Vitizbara, Maisa Shaya Bikin Vistirava. First of all, Uriah never warned Batsheva not to be with Dovin. That never happened. Okay, that's number one. Va'od Miyasrua. And on top of that, in other words, Batsheva didn't become prohibited to Uriah, nor did she become prohibited to Dovin. Meaning, when we're talking about adultery, so this is a basic halacha of Niyuf, of adultery, and that is asalabal. When a woman commits adultery, she's prohibited to two men. Her husband, number one. Number two, the man that she had relations with, that she had the extramarital affair with. So over here, if you're telling me that the episode of Dovin and Batsheva is an episode of Niyuf, it's adultery, so then she should become prohibited to Uriah and Dovin. And that didn't happen. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, The statement of Rav Elazar in of itself, that needs clarification. The Gemara says, fine, so let's clarify. Okay, so we're learning it from Dovin and Batsheva, meaning over there was no kinu, there was no stira, and therefore there was no iser. So that means to say that when there's kinu and when there's stira, there's going to be iser. Okay, so so now, what creates Isser between husband and wife? Okay, now, in a moment, the Gemara is going to clarify. I'll tell you what creates Isser between husband and wife. And that is when she has an adulterous affair in front of two witnesses. Okay, that's going to create Isser between husband and wife. The point that we're making right now is short of that. Meaning, what outside of that is going to create Isser? So what's going to create Isser is Kinu and Stira. Okay, now, we've gone over this before, and as I say it again and again, Baruch Hashem, it becomes clearer and clearer to me. Kinu and Stira, now you have Eidi Kinu, you have Eidi Stira. Kinu is a warning that he issues to her, don't seclude yourself with that man. And the Stira is that where she secludes herself with that man, but the witnesses do not see what occurs in that room. Those two, but in other words, and you need Eidim for both of them. Those two, in of itself, creates Isser of husband and wife. Now, how does that get remediated? So if all you have is Kinu and Stira, so the remediation is going to be, you go to the base of Mikdash and she drinks the Meisota. But until she does so, she's prohibited to him. That in of itself creates Isser. It does not in of itself terminate the marriage. In other words, he's going to have to divorce her. And under those circumstances, she will forfeit her ksuva. But in other words, that in of itself creates Isser. So the Gemara says, now, here's what we are saying. Kinu and Stira creates Isser, but if all you have is a claim of the husband, Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, that he really believes that his wife was an experienced woman who was with another man just simply based on his own experiences, come on, that's not going to create Isser. That's the question. So the Gemara says, Olatamech, the Gemara says, that's not a question. Meaning, think about what you're saying. Kinu v'stira in Edim Lo. The only way a woman becomes prohibited to her husband is through Kinu Estira. The Gemara says, I got another way she becomes prohibited, and that's two witnesses. Two witnesses saw her with another man. Not just alone in a room with another man. They saw her with another man. So, Ela Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Elazar's statement needs to be modified. It needs to be correctly understood. And that is, Ein Aisha Nesar Zabala Be'edechad Ela V'shnei Edim. V'kinu V'stira Afila Be'edechad Nami. Okay, so three parts of the statement. Number one, a woman becomes prohibited to her husband only with two edim, meaning two witnesses need to see the act of intimacy between her and another man. That creates Isser. Number two, There is going to be a case where one witness is going to create Isser, and that's going to be in the following. There was kinui, a warning issued in front of witnesses. There was stira, there was seclusion that was done. She was alone with the man, and the witnesses saw her going into it. Wait, we're almost there. And then one witness actually saw the act of intimacy. So here you're going to have something exceptional in halacha, and that is that one witness alone will confirm that she committed adultery. Okay? Now, that one witness, and one witness generally speaking in halacha, is insufficient testimony. In this case, it is sufficient. Why? The sufficiency is predicated on, there's a lot of smoke going on. In other words, the Gemara's expression in Sota, raglayim ladavar. Meaning, think about what's all the smoke that's going on. She's talking with another man all the way to the point where her husband said to her, you got to stop talking to him. That's kinui. On top of that, she went alone in a private room with him. That's stira. At this point in time right now, there is a lot of circumstantial evidence that she's having an affair. So in this circumstance, the Torah says one witness who sees the act of intimacy is going to be believed. With that one witness, now game over. Meaning she's prohibited to him. Again, that in of itself is not going to terminate the marriage, but she's prohibited to him. She will forfeit her ksuva. She's not going to the Beis HaMikdash. She's not drinking the Mesota. We have nothing to clarify right now. We know what happened. When I say no, meaning from a halachic standpoint, we now have sufficient evidence. So fine, that's what's called Eid Echad by Sota. Okay, and I will say that is the only time we believe Eid Echad in halacha. Now, I'm wrong, and you know I'm wrong, right? Everyone's giving me a look, right? We just learned Yavamas together. Everyone's giving me a look. Good. So in other words, there is another time where we do believe Eid Echad, and that is by Eid Asisha. Okay. That is a super exceptional rule, and fine. But as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah really puts this out one time where we're going to believe one Eid, and that's in this context over here. And then the Gemara says statement number three, meaning, and then what we're going to do is that we're going to take our Rebbe Lazar, the one that we started our daf with, and we're going to attach him to all of the above. Meaning, what creates Isser between husband and wife? Number one, Shnei Edim. Number two, Eid Echad, following Kinu and Stira. Number three, Pesach Masuach, when he makes a claim. When he makes a claim of Pesach Masuach, that's also going to create an Isser. Now, the Gemara's language over here is striking. The Gemara says, and Pesach Pasuach is like Shnei Edim. Right, that's a striking comment of the Gemara. Because with Shnei Edim, she's going to absolutely forfeit her ksuva. By Pesach Pasuach, she's forfeiting her ksuva? Right, again, for the first part of today's daf, and it's really just the easier way to think about it, of course not. In other words, everything over here is predicated on a claim that he's making, and again, the claim that he's making is that it's his belief that this is an experienced woman based on his experience with her. And she's going to lose her ksuva? Right? Everyone hears how strange that sounds. Okay, good.
Question, Rabbi. Just like the man who said that he's married and he's making himself usher to his wife or to his supposed wife, even though there's no actual facts. What if she says to her husband, I did have an adulterous relationship? There's no adim.
Okay, fine.
Does she make herself usher to her husband by making that claim?
Not only that, she's going to forfeit her ksuva.
Right.
Good. Okay.
Does that actually take effect that way?
Yeah. She admits it.
So definitionally, sota means that there's no edim for the act.
Again, sota definitionally can come down to two different cases. There's a suffix sota and the vade sota.
The word sota, there's no edim for the act of bia. Otherwise, it would
correct. Be correct.
So how can we say that Rabbi Eliezer in the first the three things are Einishon Eseral Balavad Elishay Edim?
Right.
Because we know that she's usher. That's what sota is.
Right, but in the sota model, however, there is isser. You're right. But in other words, that's something that can be that can change. In other words, she'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, she'll drink the mesota, and at least now that status can change. When you have shnei edim, it creates permanent isser. When you have eid echad after kinu and stira, that creates permanent isser. And pesach pasuach also is going to create permanent isser in the claim. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, good. So now we have synthesized Rav Elazar. We've got Rav Elazar down, good. Now, can we go back to Dovin and Batsheva? And this is where I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, there's going to be a really indelicate discussion, and here it is. Now, Dovin and Batsheva. So, Dovin is with Batsheva. Batsheva is a married woman. What? Meaning, not just one on that alone, meaning, but how can then Batsheva go back to Uriah? How could she be permitted to Dovin? Meaning that this is an act of adultery. How is she not prohibited both to her husband and to Dovin HaMelech? Okay. So, the Gemara is going to give answers. Well, we're going to follow the Gemara's answers. So, v'chitem ha'maisa sh'abmeh ma'lo asura ha'sam onesu. So, the first answer is going to be uncomfortable, but we're going to say it. And that is that it was a case of ones, meaning that when he was with her, she was not a willing participant. And as a result of that, niuf, or in this case, no FS, is only when you're a willing participant in the act. If you're not a willing participant in the act, so therefore you're not prohibited. And yes, it's a really uncomfortable comment that the Gemara makes in order to extricate itself from the problem of why isn't there Isser? So the reason why there is an Isser is because she's not a willing participant. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two is less uncomfortable. So the Ebi Zemeki Adam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini Am Rabbi Yonasan. So the second answer of the Gemara, which by far and away is the more popular answer, and I totally understand why it's the more popular answer. So Kolayos Lamachama Beisavet Get Krisus Kosev Lishto, and that is that when you go to war, so you're ready to get to your wife. D'Yechsiv Esachecha Tipachilo Shalom Ve'es Eir Vusam Tikach. So when Yishai gives instructions to David, go see your brothers out there on the battlefield. And oh, by the way, make sure to get the Eiravon, right? I want you to get that, you know, that security from them. So what is that a reference to? So that's the Gemara's question. My ves Arev Tan Tikach. So Tini Rav Yosef Dvarma Murav and Beino Levina. In other words, that's what binds him to her. Meaning, it's a get. In other words, I want you to go and collect the get from them because they went out to war and apparently they went out so quickly they didn't have a chance to write a get. So go and collect the get from them for their wives. Okay, now, there is a major discussion over here, which again, I'm acknowledging, but I'm just not going to get into, and that is, how exactly was the get structured when you go out to war? In other words, do you divorce her and then remarry her when you come back? Is the divorce conditional upon you not returning? Rashi and Tosfos deliberate this very point. We're going to go on in the Gemara. So anyway, and so therefore, Uriah divorced his wife. Again, conditionally, unconditionally, right, Rashi Tosfos. But he divorced his wife, and that's why, in other words, Batsheva, although what David did was questionable, I'll touch on that in just a moment. What he did was questionable, but it doesn't create Isser because she wasn't a married woman. Okay.
Didn't we hear the Gemara elsewhere that it's Usher to say that David sinned where he comes from Batsheva?
So, Kol Mishomer David Chote Eino Elatoa is what David's making reference to, and that is the Gemara in Shabbos, and it happens to be, I just looked it up recently, it's Nun Hei Nun Vav. Okay, I know it sounds impressive. I'm able to tell you the daf. I just looked it up. So the it's the Gemara Shabbos Nun Hei Nun Vav. So the Gemara over there says it regarding a number of our patriarchs, Reuven, whatever list of people who seemingly were involved in questionable acts and don't say that. And so the Gemara says that if you say that David was a chote, you're making a terrible mistake. And all our Gemara is doing today, meaning when you learn our Gemara today, all you're getting the sense of is that it was adultery, but you know somehow she didn't become prohibited. How did she not become prohibited if it's adultery? And so the Gemara is giving you know various technical maneuvers in terms of how is she not prohibited. All right, the sense that you get from our Gemara is that it's
honest.
Right.
It wasn't consensual, it was honest.
Okay, good. But in other words, but he is with another man's wife.
Right.
Right, okay.
But from her perspective, in terms of her being forbidden to David later on.
Correct.
Was Uriah already killed before?
No. Uriah came back already afterwards. And David had to convince Uriah to go back out to war. Okay, whatever. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Whatever. Right. In other words, David actually was trying to incentivize Uriah to be back with his wife. And Uriah said, no, I got to go back to war. Okay. Anyway, no. Uriah was not dead. Not by a long shot. So fine. So again, I'm acknowledging that there's a lot to be said regarding how to balance our view and attitudes towards this particular scene. And whatever. And it is a balance, meaning, right, like I feel about so many things in life. In other words, you don't have to be on either side. You can be in a balanced middle position, meaning that what David did was wrong. On the other hand, don't say it was wrong. And I know. In other words, I'm saying it simply as if, like, you know, but yeah, there is a balanced position to take over here. And okay, we're going to go on because we have a daf. But yeah, so this is one of the larger discussions to be had. There's so many big discussions to be had in today's daf. Amar Abaye Fanami Tanina. So Abaye says, yep, I'm with you, meaning that if we're going back to the beginning of today's daf. The man makes a claim, Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. So that's going to create Isser for him. Abaye says, you read our Mishnah and just see it in our Mishnah. So funny, we didn't see it in our Mishnah, meaning we read the Mishnah. Okay, anyway, so Basul Nisa Liam Revi, Liam Revi, and Liam Chamisha Lo Maitam, Mishamikura Daita. So in other words, you get married on Wednesday, not Thursday. And as we discussed already since the beginning of the Masechta, the reason why you get married on Wednesday is so you're able to go to court the next day. And Ulama, and in order to make a claim, Ulama, Ila Mesav Laksuva, Nesavla. The Gemara says now, what are they talking about right now? Because he wants to give her a ksuva because he wants to divorce her. Okay, you don't need Thursday to divorce her. You can do a divorce her on Friday. You can wait till Sunday. There are plenty of different days in which you can divorce her and pay her a ksuva. Elalos or alav. In other words, it's because we're going to go to court and because he's going to create iser, meaning he's going to make a claim in order so that she's prohibited to him. What's the claim? So the katan taina mai. What exactly is the claim? Lav the katan taina pesach pesuach. So here we are speculating. In our Mishnah, you know what the claim is? Now, again, the Mishnah doesn't say. But let's insert. What was the claim advanced by the man on Thursday morning when he went to court? The claim was Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. This woman is an experienced woman. She was with another man. Why? Because of my experience with her. Therefore, I'm concluding. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, that's a lot of speculation. The Mishnah didn't say that was the claim. And by you advancing that's the claim, I don't know. In fact, lo de katan tan stamim. The Gemara says the claim could be much easier. And that is, he brings the physical evidence into the Beis Din. He brings in the bed sheet. And he says, there's no blood here. Now again, as we already pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, that is a lack of evidence. That's not evidence, that's a lack of evidence. But still, that's a lack of physical evidence. It certainly is. It's certainly more than him saying, because of the way I experienced her, she was with another man. It's definitely more than that. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amar Pesach Betzuchos Masasi Nemar Lafsi Ksuvasa. Okay. Now, next part of today's daf, it's the same discussion, but now we go to the mammon aspect of it. Now, I told you in the beginning of today's daf, take the money off the table. Okay. Now bring the money back on the table. Okay. Meaning that here now, for a moment in time, the Gemara is going to at least entertain the possibility that because of his claim, she's going to lose her ksuva. Now, as I pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, that's difficult. Right? It is. Meaning that she is now the note holder. And because you're making a claim that's unsubstantiated and no verification and no witnesses, she's going to lose her ksuva? That's saying a lot. Okay, for a moment, the Gemara is going to entertain. It's going to be a short amount of time. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Amar Pesach Patsuch Masasi Neman Lafsid Ksuvasa. Excuse me. I'm Rav Yosef, Micah Mashmol and Tanina. So Rav Yosef says, look, I see it in a Braisa. Meaning, I think you're right. And I think the Braisa supports that. Ha'ochel Eitzacham Abi Yehuda Shalom Be'edimeinu Yecholaton Tanis Besul Mimnesha Misyachinima. Once again now, I think second day in a row, we're going to hear this a number of times. In the province of Yehuda, the Arus and the Arusa were together. They were encouraged to be together. As we discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, at Erisin, you're married, but you can't be with her. And you go back home to your parents. She goes back to her parents, and you're not with her, and you're not allowed to be with her. Okay, but in the province of Yehuda, and as I mentioned already previously, there's historical reasons why this was the case. In the province of Yehuda, so Arus and Arusa were encouraged to be together, and the assumption is that while they spent that intimate time together, they were intimate with each other. That's what we assume. And therefore, after Nisuan, he obviously cannot go to court and say, she was with a man. Yeah, because that man probably was you. Good. So the, right, right. Okay, good.
He's not lying.
Yeah, right, right. So the dilemma, so the Gemara says, okay, so here now Rav Yosef, after learning the Braisa, says, here's the diuk in the Braisa. So, Yehuda dilemma, Masitain, Habigale, Masitain. So now that means to say that if you don't follow the custom of Yehuda, in other words, if you follow the old traditional custom, what the Gemara calls the Galilean custom, so that means to say that you can make a taina. And ulamai ila osra la Yehuda mailo. So the Gemara says, now what is the taina going to affect? Is it going to affect Isser? Look, even if you're in Yehuda, you want to make a claim that affects Isser, by all means, go for it. Why? Shavya anafshe chaticha di Isura. Because when effecting an Isser, anybody can affect an Isser. Meaning that's the whole concept of Shavya. So elalav lafsida ksuvasa. So now that Shavya anafshe is taking Isser off the table and off the discussion, so it must be that your taina is to affect what? Money. So elalav lafsida ksuvasa dekatan taina. So and now what exactly is the claim? My love de katan tanis pesach pesuach. Now again, we don't know what the claim is, and we're suggesting the claim is pesach pesuach lo de katan tanis damim. And the Gemara says, no, that wasn't the claim. The claim was tanis damim. Once again, he comes in with the bed sheet that is absent of blood. In other words, it's better. It's not great evidence, but it's better evidence than just simply his claim of how he experienced her. Okay, I kind of takes us to the end of today's daf. And we're done. Meaning, I know I did that in pretty short order, but I did that because I skipped so many of the really, really large topics. But we touched on it. We touched on it. Anyway, let's quickly recap our daf today. So, today is one of those more classic dafim in Shas because it involves issues of Shavya Nafshe and Sveik Sveika and David HaMelech and really huge, huge topics that each topic in of itself obviously is something where you could be exploring for a really long time. But basically, number one, a man makes a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, so he's Neman, he's believed. Now again, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, the word Neman over there is a little bit confusing. Because Neman gives us a sense that credibility and it's not so much credibility as it is just simply he wants to say it, let him say it. How is it going to affect him? It'll make her usher to him. Meaning based on the principle of Shavya Nafshe, Chaticha Di Yisura. Good. So that's point number one of the Gemara today. Even if he's right, it's a double suffix, suffix tachtav, suffix enu tachtav, suffix only suffix ratzon. And this is what's called an alacha sveik sveika. So even if he's right, she shouldn't be ushered to him because you have a double suffix. To which the Gemara says, the Rav Elazar is talking about where one of those sveikos are removed. It's an Ashes Kohen. Or she was married before three. We remove one of those fakos. So therefore, it amounts to one suffix. The Gemara says, what creates Isser between husband and wife? So basically, we took Rav Elazar's statements and we synthesized and we put the statements together. So basically, it comes down to three different categories. Category number one, Shnei Edim. Two people saw her with another man, meaning the act of intimacy with another man. See the end of the Gemara of the first parak of Makos in terms of what they actually need to see. Okay. In other words, I know that's indelicate, but obviously we're talking about Edus. We're talking about testimony, eyewitness testimony. So what do they actually need to see? The Gemara at the end of the first parak of Makos discusses that. Anyway, so number one, two aid. Number two, after Kinu and Stira, one aid. And then number three, Pesach Pasuach. And the statement of the Gemara, a striking statement of today's daf, Pesach Pesuach is like Shnei Edim. It's like two witnesses. Okay. Which I when we read it, it's hard to understand what that means. But we know, meaning just as a conclusion, meaning walking out of here, what it means is that he is making a prohibition upon himself. He absolutely has entitlement to do so based on the principle of Shavya Nafshe. Okay. Now, so those are the three statements of Rav Elazar. The next big topic of today's Gemara is Davin and Batsheva. How is she not prohibited? Meaning, why is it not an act of adultery? The Gemara gives two answers. The one uncomfortable answer of the Gemara is that it was a case of Ones, that Davin was Ma'anis Batsheva. The second answer of the Gemara is that she was divorced. Uriah wrote her a get. That was the custom. Anyone who goes out to war, a divorce is going to be written on their behalf. Okay, good. Huh? Again, Rashi Tosos. It's a machlokas Rashi Tosos. So the Rashi says it's conditional. Tosos says it's not. Okay, fine. Okay, again, you could see the first Rashi and the first Tosos of the Amud Beis. That's where the discussion is to be found. And finally, a position taken by that was all Rav Elazar. And the last part of today's daf was the position of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Mashmo says that not only is his claim going to create Isser, it's also going to create a Hefsek Suva. Okay, and as I pointed out, that's difficult to understand, meaning that his claim, unsubstantiated, unvalidated. So to create Isser, by all means, Shavya Nafshe. But then also to create a loss of her Ksuva, meaning that's money. And she's a note holder, and she's a Muchzak. And normally, how do you take money out of people's hands? Hamotzi Mechaver Alavarai, you need proof. So I'm admitting, it's hard to understand. I myself don't fully understand it. Anyway, but that was the second position of the Gemara. Adkaf.